Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the epistle from the Apostle James, where we hear him speak of the difference between remaining in the Lord and being tempted by Satan and the things of this life. Blessed is the man who reigns steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Dear brothers and sisters, Lent is a penitential season, to be sure, but it's also a joyful season because at this time when we focus most closely upon the reasons why Jesus came into this world to suffer and die, we also focus even more closely perhaps on Jesus himself. Because unless you have the suffering and death of Jesus, you do not have the gospel. Unless you have the suffering and death of Jesus, you do not have the Lutheran Church. You do not have Christianity. You do not have Martin Luther confessing the faith boldly. You do not sing, "A mighty fortress is our God." We see in just these few words from James the difference between us and God. And that difference is just about everything. God is the maker, we are the made. God is in control, and we are out of control. And so it goes. But the biggest difference is the simple difference between good and evil, between right and wrong, between holiness and sinfulness. James tells us that we are blessed when we remain steadfast under trial. And the trials of his days, we must remember, include death. Not just because we've gotten old, not just because we were in the wrong place at the wrong time, because we fell asleep at the wheel, because we didn't treat our bodies the way we should and filled ourselves full of fat and suffer from heart attacks. No. There was a very real chance in James' time that if you believed in Jesus, somebody would kill you for that. And there's not much bigger trial in our lives than knowing that death is imminent and being unable to do anything about it, especially if that death promises to be particularly slow and painful. But God doesn't just call us to be faithful in those things, but to be faithful in all things, to be steadfast no matter what the trials are that we face. We're tested constantly. Normally not in the way that Abraham was with Isaac, not in the way that Jesus was when Satan was trying to throw him off the path that was laid out for him, the path of saving us from our sins. But temptations, large and small, are part of our everyday life. Some of them we don't even realize as such because they're so well disguised. We're tempted to do things that feel good and right to us. We've got a whole set of built-in excuses throughout our lives, some of them relating to age and place in life. He's too young to know better, or you know him, he's always been that way. And all of those grades in between. Whenever anybody said, boys will be boys, what they were really saying is that's a sin that's been going on ever since there were little boys. Nobody ever says, boys will be boys, when they're helping little old ladies across the street, as the old Boy Scout stereotype went. Nobody ever said, boys will be boys, when they saw them going over the neighbor and voluntarily mowing the lawn because their neighbor was laid up. Oh, when they got up early and made their beds and took out the trash without being prompted time after time after time by their parents. We don't justify those actions. Rather, we're astonished by them usually. Because even in the little things, we are not faithful. We do not pass the test of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart. We do not pass the test of loving our neighbor as ourselves. If we want to know whether or not we have withstood any trials at all, we just check off all of the instances where we have perfectly kept the Ten Commandments. And we soon see that the slate is practically void of check marks. How are we going to resist anything big and terrifying when we can't even resist the small little temptations of everyday life? How will we ever get the crown of life when we can't even get through one day without sinning against God in thought, word, and deed? And James doesn't give you any wiggle room to say, well, it's all God's fault. Our first parents tried that in the garden. Who told you were naked? Did you eat? That woman who you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate. The blame went back to God from Adam right there. It was the woman's fault, but it was really God's fault for ever giving him that woman. Should have just left him well enough alone there in the garden, right? But God didn't put woman in the earth to tempt man, nor did he make woman in order to have somebody for man to tempt. And certainly he didn't put those trees in the center of the garden to tempt to sin, but rather to test faithfulness, to test allegiance. And there is the difference. God doesn't put enticements out there in order to draw us into sin. It may look almost identical, but when God places those things in front of us, they are to test us for the purpose of strengthening our faith, for the purpose of proving to us who need proof day after day that, yes, He is stronger than our sins, that, yes, when we trust in Him, He will lead us safely through those temptations. Because God does not tempt anyone. He allowed Satan to tempt Job, but God set it up in such a way that as long as Job continued to trust in the Lord, Job would not despair and sin against God. He would not reject the one who had made him and the one who had preserved him to that point. That's the way God wants it for each and every one of us. He wants all of us to have the same faith and confidence that Abraham did, who could take Isaac away from hearth and home, lead him through the wilderness, haul him up a mountain, and tie him down on an altar in order to sacrifice him. God wants you and me to be every bit as faithful as Jesus, who was driven out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and spent 40 days of constant testing and temptation as his body continually weakened by lack of food and drink. God wants you to be able to stand up to Satan and resist him with his word, just as Jesus did. But that doesn't ever seem to happen, does it? We are a faithless people. We give up too soon and give in too often. What we imagine as a great torture is usually nothing compared to the deliverance that God can provide if we only hold out a bit longer. But testing and temptation, the trials that come before us, they aren't always the type that terrify. The picture on the cover of the bulletin depicts Satan as a fallen angel, demonic, cloaked under a hood with those long fingers like claws that are sticking out. But we remember that Satan even more often comes disguised as an angel of light, If things seem too good to be true, sometimes they are. Because if they are not true to God's word, then they are from the father of lies. God has an advertising problem. He promises us up front that there will be times of trial, times of hurt. He promises first a cross before the crown of life. Satan, on the other hand, says, hey, have I got a deal for you? What he tells us isn't much different from what he tells Jesus. Jump off the temple. Let the angels save you and let everyone love you. He encourages us to glorify ourselves, to satisfy the desires and the fears of the flesh, and to ignore the path of testing that God lays out before us. And we faithlessly follow his words instead of the faithful words of God. Sometimes it doesn't seem that we even get the cross completely picked up before we set it down and stroll off after the next sin. We give in to despair, to weakness, to the old lament of, I'm too old, I'm too weak, I'm too tired. And there's the problem right there. I. God wants us first to look to him. The one who says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. He is the one who guarantees through the apostle that the sins that we fall into so frequently and so easily can be quickly and easily banished as long as we remain faithful to him. He says, I don't tempt and you can't tempt me, but you can put me to the test. You can have me prove to you, just as I would have you prove to me, just how great this relationship can be. But no one who has walked the face of this earth, save our Lord Jesus himself, has ever taken God up on that and followed completely and exactly in that relationship all the days of his life. And for that, he got killed. And there we're back onto what seems like the downside again. But God doesn't promise us trials in order to hurt us. He promises them to help us. He promises them in order to make us more like Jesus, to train us up in righteousness so that we can resist other trials, but most of all, to prepare us for the blessings that will follow. He wants us to taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants us to challenge God to back up his word and his promises with deeds and actions. And he will, and he does, whenever we do. He won't test us farther than we can endure. And if we start following, we find out just how remarkably enduring we can be. When you were younger and stronger, who of you thought that you could put up with so many of the things that you have already gone through in your own lives? Some here have had families fall apart. Some here have lost relatives who were younger and seemingly in better health than they are. Gone through war, waited for people to come back from war. You've done without more things than some people realize there are things. You've been hurt, and sometimes you haven't healed as well as you once did. You faced heart disease, cancer, loneliness, and even the brink of death. But you have faced and so far overcome those things, not because God made you so strong as you began, but because God stayed with you to keep you strong as you went on. But when you look back, you see that you didn't perfectly follow him. You worried, you fretted, you sinned even because of those challenges that came into your life. Yet God never stopped loving you, never stopped forgiving you, and never stopped coming back in his word through his sacrament to strengthen you. Satan wants you to forget about God, to either blissfully follow everything good or else see nothing but wrong and evil in the world and think that God has put it all out there for you, that God is out to get you and lead you to hate God. But God has authored nothing but good for you. Even what seems bad for you is actually good as you believe and follow God where He leads you. Because whatever pain, whatever suffering, whatever trials we face as Christians, as believers, as ones who are willing to put God to the test, allow us to participate in the sufferings that Jesus underwent on our behalf. He testified to God's faithfulness by not cursing those who mocked Him at the foot of the cross. And we testify to God's faithfulness then by not cursing Him when trials and troubles come into our lives. And we cannot do this on our own, but only by the strength and forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. Have we trials and temptations, the song asks? Of course we do. We're still on this earth. In a broken, fallen creation, we are broken, fallen inhabitants. But we also have the valiant one, the one who is still in the fight with us, even as He already conquered, so He has also stayed with us by word and sacrament, through His Holy Spirit, still fighting day by day, step by step, even in our latter days, breath by breath. As we await the end of trials and the beginning of everlasting triumph. You know that you have a faithful God. He proved it because, unlike Abraham, He did not withstay His own hand. He allowed the blows to fall upon Jesus. The knife that was not plunged into Isaac was instead plunged into Jesus' side after He died, and He poured out blood and water as testimony of His own faithfulness to the Father and of the Father's faithfulness to His promises. Do you want to know what you can withstand? You can, with God helping you, withstand everything that Jesus faced throughout life and even through His death. Violence, abandonment, loneliness, loss of health, loss of breath, the things that some of you have right now even. Jesus strangling in His own fluids, His lungs unable to clear themselves anymore because of the weight of His own body hanging on the cross. Jesus feeling perhaps those last beats of His heart, winding down and knowing that His time was at hand and committing Himself to His Father. You too can die such a faithful death because Jesus died one for you. And you can know that you will truly rest in peace just as Jesus did because you believe that as Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, so will you. God even faithfully kept that promise. A promise that Abraham only knew by sight or by hope and by faith, that if he had to slay Isaac, God would raise him up from the dead because God had made that promise. But we have seen the Son die, and we have seen the Son rise, and we know how the story will end for us. He will call us to come to Him and to live for any more. And faithless as we have been through this life, when we cling to His promises, He will forget all of that. He will continue to wipe out those sins, and He will continue to grant faith and strength for the day with the guarantee of bliss in the days to come. God grant that we who are so often faithless would remember our faithful God, would continue to seek His forgiveness and His strength and His encouragement, as given through His Word, through His Supper, and through the love of the brothers and sisters who He has placed in our lives for us. And God grant that we will join together, if not in our future here, in the eternity that He has prepared for us, where all the trials that we have faced will be distant memories, where all the scars that this world has given us will be badges of honor and glory if they were won for our faithfulness to Christ. God grant that you even now be able to wear those as badges of honor, And that even at your weakest time, remember that Jesus became weak for you. And even at your time of greatest struggle and worry and fear that perhaps God has forgotten about you, remember that he forsook his only begotten son so that he would never forsake you. God defines faithfulness, God lives faithfulness, and God grants faithfulness to those who believe in his dear son, Jesus. God grant that faith to you, that you can keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, and that for the joy of it, you can face any trial. And that for the joy that remains, you can also face your Savior on the last day and know that you are there to go home. In the name of Jesus, your crucified and risen Lord and Savior, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.